There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack, but let's find it. Sorry, I was looking to see if I had a cool map, but I don't. You know me, I love maps. Not going to happen today. Let's go down to Australia. Sad news. Queensland floods. Residents evacuate as Australia faces a new emergency. This is pretty sad here. Hundreds of Australians have been told to evacuate their homes as Queensland faces another flooding emergency. Really? it's pretty sad. It's kind of a bummer. Sorry, Stug and Calm pointed out that I do love underboobs and maps, and maps that have boobs. Specifically, I've been describing the west coast of Africa. It looks like a big old breast on the side there. But that might just be me. But that's how I've been reminding it. All right. We're going to get here. We're just going to keep going. Hey, Shibu. Hello. Goodbye. Matt, welcome. It's like you're in some kind of hurry.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is June 30th, 2023, which means that we're just on the eve for year three of this show. I did book my flight and hotel for a week in Portland, Oregon. It'll be July 12th through the 18th. I'll be over there the 12th and the 18th. Well, the 12th will be the day that I don't know if I'll get a show out. The rest of the days, I'll probably record the show in the morning and upload it before I go to the conference. But yeah, baby, I'll be at the Portland, Oregon Center, Conference Center, whatever it's called. All right, I'm walking across the parking garage to get to the fourth level because on the roof, it's just so bright, I can't see. It's kind of like Tobe talks about that. It's like, it's too bright. It's 1909 UTC if you're keeping track, so we're a little bit behind, but we'll catch up, don't worry. If you want to chat during the show, that's something you can do. It's something we all like to do, actually. But all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org, or you can do tty.sdf.org, that's what I'm doing right now. And once you connect over, launch com, C-O-M. You press G for go to and type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. Boom. You'll be in the Anon room, Anon Radio room, chilling out with all the cool people like X1 and LD Beth. Tobe's here, hailing Satan. One of Alts. Hey, haven't seen you in a minute. Andy C, Neff, Ratsu. Shout outs. Hello, hello. Welcome, welcome. X1's here. Neff saying, put him against that annoying guy from the Computer Chronicles that always trashed on Unix because it wasn't compatible with Lotus 1-2-3. Oh, the Computer Chronicles. What a thing to remember. Hey, Jay Lamoth has arrived, and Excelite. Welcome, welcome. Oh, man. So I am feeling very sleepy. I don't know why. But let's talk about news. There's some news going on. In Computer Chronicles, you can still watch on Twitch. There's somebody that just streams old Computer Chronicles and other old computer shows. It's very fun. All right, so let's launch it. Let's go over here to Firefox, my browser of choice. syncing appears to have completed. So now we just need to open up our bookmarks. Bam, 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 desktop bookmarks. News to me, June 30th, boom. All right. Well, I seem to have forgotten to sort my bookmarks. So we're gonna get news just kind of in chunks. So first, in France, you know, we talked about briefly about how the police had killed a teenager and it was causing trouble. Well, 40,000 police officers have been deployed as violent protests spread to major cities in France. In the Parisian suburb of Nanterre, where a 17-year-old was fatally shot during a traffic stop, protesters torched cars, barricaded streets, and hurled projectiles at police. So it is not going well in France. And the protests continue to get... Protests have been described as riots in other news sources. A lot of anger going on there. The Guardian puts it this way. Macron tells parents to keep teenagers at home. Policing unions criticized over inflammatory language. You know, if there's one thing that I've pretty much have always said on the show, and it's that, hey, you know what? If you're a cop, you should quit your job. But anyway, ACAP, a total of 875 people questioned overnight after violence and looting triggered by the fatal shooting of a 17-year-old on Tuesday. Let's see, 3 minutes ago, 917 arrests on Thursday during unrest. Policing unions criticized over inflammatory language. Let's see what they said. Scroll. When they're doing live coverage, it's a little harder to jump around. Here it is. Unions representing half of French police officers have described those taking part in the rioting, which follows years of complaints of racial profiling and heavily-handed policing, as savage hordes and vermin, saying they consider themselves at war. One of the ways to keep them from feeling so bad about betraying their class and being such horrible people is to say stuff like this. The actual statement they put out said, "Faced with these savage hordes, asking for calm doesn't go far enough. It must be imposed. Re-establishing order in the Republic and putting those arrested somewhere they can do no harm must be the only political signals to send out. This is not the time for industrial action, but for fighting against these vermin. To submit, to capitulate, and to give them pleasure by laying down weapons are not solutions given the gravity of the situation." The former presidential candidate for the hard left France Unbowed party, Jean-Luc Mélenchon, said police unions calling for civil war should learn to keep quiet. "We've seen the fatal behavior this kind of talk leads to. Politics needs to regain its grip on the police." The French Green Party leader, Marine Tondelier, said, "Can we finally say that we have a structural problem in the police? This text is an appeal for civil war." So yeah. In general, all the police need to be abolished. They're all, the whole policy, the whole situation is awful. Anyway, I'm sorry, I went on a little bit of a rant there, but it's just very frustrating, police behave this way. Let's talk about bears. I'm talking about real dudes. Big dudes. Dudes you don't want to run into when you're off wandering in the woods looking for little dudes. Well, a debate over troublesome bears in the Alps shows the complex challenge of rewilding large carnivores. In much of the Alps, bears have been hunted into extinction and only remained as stuffed specimens in museums. Now, a European Union-funded project called Life Ursus was slowly turning back the clock. The population grew to around 100 today, beyond even the rosiest projections. But after a series of attacks on people, the future of the bears is now in doubt. What's going on? Is a tiny number of isolated incidents sparking a mass panic? Or is there a genuine pattern of unusually troublesome behavior among the returning bears? In the early days, a majority of locals supported the Life Ursus project. Wildlife groups and scientists praised it as a conservational success and a potential model for brown bear recovery. Most of the bears lived shyly in the forest, fed on insects, plants, and berries, and avoided humans. A few cross the Alps, popping up in Austria, Germany, and Switzerland. Eventually, conservationists hope such dispersal might help create a kind of alpine bear belt, a border-crossing habitat that would ensure the species' long-term survival. Well, today that picture looks less happy. Jerka now lives behind a heavily fortified fence in a wildlife park in Germany, having been removed from Trentino for being a potential threat to humans. This year, Jerka's daughter, JJ4, well, that's not a good name, who was guarding her cubs, killed a jogger named Andrea Poppy. It was JJ4's second attack and one of 7 bear attacks on humans in the last decade. Other bears have mauled livestock and plundered beehives. So, let's see. So, what's the argument here? At first glance, research on bear behavior is reassuring from a human point of view. We're not part of their diet, and they don't tend to prey on us. Julia Bomberi analyzed 600 brown bear attacks around the world together with colleagues. Their findings suggest that when bears attack, it's usually in defense against a perceived threat. A 2023 analysis of all attacks by large carnivores showed similar patterns of largely defensive attacks by bear species. Let's see. Oh, wow. This truck. I've never seen this kind of truck drive by. It's got... it's called a guzzler. Oh, interesting. It's not a... It looks... It's got a big water tank. Or maybe it's an ox air tank. I don't know. It's called the guzzler. So I'm thinking it must guzzle up water or fuel or something. Anyway, suffice it to say, they returned bears to the wild. The bears became wild animals and started defending themselves. And humans who have taken over their habitat don't like it and want to get rid of the bears now. So yeah, just a reminder, hey, you can't suck your own dick. You can't suck your own dick all the time and expect to have kids. It's just one of those things. It's like, oh man, I'm going to be so good. Look at how awesome we are. Oh man, how did I hurt myself? Anyway, let's check in on Calm. Okay, let's see. MS-13 DOS. Alright, let's see. Okay, it looks like we have lost a 7. Or criticisms like, but it's old, which doesn't mean Unix is bad, but the audience for that show is mainly casual home computing enthusiasts. Ah, yeah, yeah. I guess because it's Friday, everyone's driving their really annoying cars because, like, we're too close to the suburbs, so there aren't any, like, really souped-up cars. They're just cheap cars that have had noisemaker modifications done. I got 5 extra horsepowers, bro. I got a better exhaust. I put the exhaust on. I'm sorry. I lost the plot. All right. Let's keep on moving. Let's go to something else. Do you remember Elian Gonzalez? He was a boy that he was found adrift on a boat. His mother was trying to get him over to Florida. So Elian Gonzalez made it to the United States, but his father in Cuba said, "No, I'm here in Cuba. Bring my son back. Give me my son." And it was a big dramatic event, and it eventually made it to the Supreme Court. And at the Supreme Court, they said, "Hey, give this kid back to his father in Cuba." Well, now Elian Gonzalez is running for political office. Ouch. Excuse me. Elian Gonzalez has the same big expressive eyes he did 23 years ago when an international custody battle transformed him into the face of the long-strained relationship between Cuba and the U.S. Now 29 years old, Gonzalez is stepping into Cuban politics.
He recently entered his country's Congress with hopes of helping his people at a time of record immigration and heightened tension between the two seaside neighbors. From Cuba, we can do a lot so that we have a more solid country, and I owe it to Cubans, he said during an exclusive interview with the Associated Press. That is what I'm going to try to do from my position, from this place in Congress, to contribute making Cuba a better country. So, hey, I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, I just thought that was neat. Ilion, he is a politician now, and he's actually in office. The Dutch are restricting chip equipment exports amid U.S. pressure. Huh? Who would you think? What an amazing thing! The Netherlands has announced new rules restricting exports of certain semiconductor manufacturing equipment. It follows pressure from the U.S. to curb the sale of computer chip technology to, that's right, China. The Dutch government did not cite this as a reason, though, saying it had taken the step on national security grounds. The Chinese government responded, saying the decision was not in the interest of any party and would impact chip production and supply chains. Mao Ning, China's foreign ministry spokesman, said China opposed the U.S.'s abuse of export controls and its use of various pretexts to win over and coerce other countries into imposing a technological blockade against China. The U.S. is engaged in an arms race with China over control of the supply for semiconductors, especially certain computer chips used for supercomputing and AI. So the Dutch are doing that. But there was a related story. TSMC, the Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, they're suffering from a ransomware attack. Hold on, I got the link. I sent the link to somebody so it didn't make it into my bookmarks. And here we go. A cyber attack, believed to be orchestrated by the notorious ransomware gang Lockbit, has not only threatened the security and operations of TSMC, but may also have significant consequences for industries dependent on semiconductors, including the global GPU market. As the ransom demand looms and the clock ticks, we delve into the incident, the players involved, and the potential repercussions. Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company is the world's leading semiconductor manufacturing firm. They are demanding $70 million to give them back their data or give them the key. There's another car with a bad exhaust. Man, what is the deal? I'm feeling a kind of way. Anyway, TSMC is kind of trapped with this ransomware attack. They make billions of dollars a year, so $70 million is significant, but it's not going to break them to deal with this. This isn't the first time Lockbit has made headlines for its high-profile attacks. Earlier this year, the group targeted the Royal Mail, demanding $80 million in Bitcoin. And they also targeted W.H. Smith, stealing personally identifiable information of current and former employees. So the event is a call to action for the tech industry to redouble its efforts in cybersecurity and for consumers to remain vigilant. So yeah, be careful out there. You never know. Oh, yeah. So you know how we were talking about all the cocaine problem in Antwerp? Well, Germany's got a problem with crystal meth. Crystal meth's a highly addictive substance. It's considered one of the most dangerous drugs in the world. Sometimes referred to as the poor man's cocaine, it's made from ingredients that are easy to purchase. Consumption of crystal meth is on the rise in Europe, with large quantities being produced illegally in the Netherlands. The drug is wreaking havoc in Germany in particular, where more and more people are taking this stimulant. So there's a special video report on France 24 if you want to read it, but or watch it, but
in general, I just thought it was a surprise. It was like, oh man, there's this big flux of cocaine, but cocaine's expensive. And drug demand is high in Europe, it seems, so. Alright, what else? What else? What else? We got 4 minutes before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe to show that airs every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. That's right, every goddamn day. So Sunday, Saturday, Monday, the 4th of July. Unless Tobe is unconscious in an operating room, you'll probably hear the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe live. And if not, you'll hear a rerun. He's been doing the show for so long, though, that rerun could be from anywhere. You'll time travel with Tobe. That's always fun, too. All right, here. We got 3 minutes, so here's two nuclear stories for you. First, EDF announced it is seeking the necessary authorizations to construct two EPR-2, that's Echo Papa Romeo 2 reactors, at the Penly Nuclear Power Plant site in Normandy, northern France. The state-owned power company said its board of directors had decided to proceed with the planned construction in the first pair of EPR-2 reactors. And then... let's talk about fuel real quick. The United States and Canadian regulators have published a joint TRISO fuel report. The joint report by the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission and the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission establishes a common regulatory position on tristructural isotropic, or TRISO, fuel for use in licensing of advanced reactor and small modular reactor technologies. The report is part of the cooperative activities established under a Memorandum of Cooperation on Advanced Reactor and SMR Technologies signed in 2019. So this is going to be pretty cool, but... Anyway, what did the report say? The latest joint report provides a common understanding on the evidence fuel vendors need to demonstrate the acceptability of pebbles made from TRISO fuel. TRISO fuel comprises spherical kernels of enriched uranium oxycarbide, or uranium dioxide, surrounded by layers of carbon and silicon carbide, giving a containment for fission products. According to the scope of an objective set out in the report, the two regulators aim to work together to establish a common regulatory position on TRISO fuel qualification based on existing knowledge and identify any potential analytical or testing gaps that would need to be addressed to enable TRISO use in advanced reactor licensing applications. And there's more fuel news out there at Nuclear News, world-nuclear-news.org. But it's time for Dubious Goals, and I'm going to take a nap. So peace be with you. Enjoy Tobe, and then watch, listen on Saturday at 1900 for Publius in A Step Further Out. Yeah. Peace out. Bye-bye.